We're continuing the series that Ed started last week, Being Sold Out for God. And this morning we're looking at the God, or the King, who rescues us. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And we're reading from verse 9 to 14. Colossians 1, 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's an amazing few verses of Scripture. I think there's just so much in there. Just 156 words and just three full stops. Paul always gets so excited, he just keeps charging on. It's packed full of goodies. And I encourage you to take these verses home and feed on them. I think Ed suggested this last week, that we take these readings home, we really pray them into our daily lives. Paul is setting out what God does for us and what it means to be sold out for God, to be sold out, to be 100% Christian. Interesting to note here that Paul has heard about the Colossian Christians, that they've been doing well. He'd never actually been there, but he'd heard, probably from Epaphras, that they've been doing well. But here, he's not just giving God thanks for that, he's praying that they might do even better. Don't settle for average, go for more. He didn't just pray for them once, he prayed for them constantly. We can infer from Paul's opening sentence that he and those who are with him were going to pray as they had never prayed before. Paul was a firm believer in the fellowship of prayer, a fellowship praying together. We too surely should be those who are firm believers in the fellowship of prayer, not only believing it, but actually doing it. There are many things in our Christian lives we know about and we think about, we don't necessarily do them. God, I think, wants to stir us up to start actually practicing what we preach, Christians praying together. And the Lord never wants his people to ask for just a little bit. The Lord always wants us to think big, I think, when we come to him. He's a great God. He made the world and everything in it. I was reminded of this, I think, just a week or so ago, when they're sending this little electronic satellite or something into space to one of the stars. It wasn't a few hundred miles away. It's billions of miles away. I think we need that sort of bigger vision of God, of just how great he is, and not keep him sort of television size. We need to have a wider mind and understanding of the great God that we have. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. And Paul prayed that they may be filled with a knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, don't we need that? Be filled with the knowledge of God's will. It's not about making God listen to us when we come to him in prayer. It's much more about making ourselves listen to him. We need to be seeking what God wants us to do, what God's calling us to do, not just telling him what things we want him to change or whatever. We need to pray regularly, Lord, your will be done. And I think the first objective of prayer is to listen to God. I speak for myself, so often I rush into prayer without sort of going to God first, telling him all the things I need changing. But I think our object in prayer is to listen to God. I think it's not important just for us as individuals, but as a church. We just heard about praying fellowship. This church should be a praying fellowship, engaged together in praying for God's will. And Paul is saying, you know, knowledge of knowing, if we know God's will, that's going to change our hearts and our lives. Is this our prayer? That together we may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the reason Paul's setting all this out like this is to contrast the difference between what's going on in the world and what it means to be a Christian. The ancient world had so many sort of demonic things that it looked at and prayed about and talked about. Wind, thunder, lightning, rain. All of them, for those people, had a demonic controller. Every tree, every flower, every lake, there was always something demonic there that they could latch on to. The heresies, they insisted on observing certain festivals, new moons, self-denial, and a whole variety of other things. And the locals there reckoned that Christ was not enough to defeat God. They claimed that God wasn't strong enough or good enough to deal with all of this. The understanding Paul refers to is about the great truths of Christianity. We need to know it for ourselves and apply those truths to our daily life. Knowing it is one thing, actually doing it is something quite different, isn't it? God wants us to know his will and to put it into action. To do it, we need his power, and that we can receive in prayer. Paul is praying to those he's writing to. They'll be filled with such a rich, deep, experiential knowledge of God's will. Is that true for us as a church? Is that true for you as an individual? That you are filled with such a rich, deep knowledge of God's will. He's praying this to encourage them to take a stand against all these false teachers I've just been mentioning, who are trying to lead the Colossians astray with the heresies of the day. Gnostic teaching, legalism, angel worship, all the other things. Being ascetic. And also this thing they had about, you can only know God if you know lots of secret information. All these heresies were rumbling around the church in Colossae at this time. Quite a collection, isn't it? And Paul is saying there's no comparison between any of that and the Christian message. No comparison. Nothing is richer or more satisfying than what Paul is praying for them. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, a clear knowledge of God. A challenge, isn't it? I wonder how we think this morning, whether or not we have a clear knowledge of God. The wisdom and understanding is the work of the Holy Spirit. It does change our lives. It does renew our hearts. It builds us up as the people of God. We need to do this. But why do we need to do it? The answer again is in those few verses. So that we can live a life worthy of the Lord. Without prayer and the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. And that's what all these verses are about. I find that a real challenge. I mean, each one of us has to answer ourselves. Are you living a life worthy of the Lord? It's a really challenging piece of scripture, these few verses. And the more we know God, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we want to obey him and do his will in thought, word, and deed. With God, there's always more for us to receive. You can't outdo God. If you think you can, you can't. And that is, I believe, God's prayer for you and me, that we may be filled with a knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may be 100% Christians, not just Sunday Christians or Monday Christian or weeknight Christian or whatever, but Christians all the time. And our knowledge of God's will must be practical. If we're going to live it, we've got to know it. We need that personal relationship with God. If we don't know it, how can we live it? I think that's, again, a challenge for us. Do we have that personal relationship with God? Real challenge, I find that. I know there's many wise and clever people in the world, and we see thousands of books written by them. They know the Bible through and through. They know it in Greek and Hebrew. They know the words. They know the history. They know all the details. They can quote it upside down all the way around. But knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. And often as Christians, I think we come under attack from people who think they know so much about God, but they don't actually know him for themselves. God wants us to know God for ourselves. And there's such a huge gap here between knowing about God and knowing God. Knowing God personally. And it's no good talking to people about Jesus or God if our daily lives actually display a totally different message. A good knowledge of God without a good life doesn't profit anything. It's useless. And we are called as children of God to walk and to live in a way that is pleasing to God. Again, it's a question perhaps we should ask ourselves, God, am I pleasing you today? Or am I just pleasing me, Jack, number one? Our thoughts, our daily actions, our conversations should all be pleasing to God. We're talking about football to Gary just before this service started. It's so easy that our actions can actually say something totally different. We can actually show a side of ourselves which is not pleasing to God, shouting or screaming or whatever we're doing. Our thoughts, our conversations should always be pleasing to God. We must abound in good works. And I think this is so important too. It's only as we step out in faith that we increase in the knowledge of God. Head knowledge is one thing, but stepping out in faith, we need to be doing that. And if we do that, we will increase. We will get to know God better. But what about it when times are hard? Endurance is a grace that God gives us. The grace to bear up under pressure, under hardship, under trial, under suffering, affliction. Matthew 11:28 says this, words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. In Paul's writings, if you look at all of them, you'll see that endurance is associated with a load of other spiritual gifts. Kindness. Are we kind people? Mercy. Do we show mercy or talk about mercy at all? Love. When people see us, do they see the love of Christ in us? Goodness and our behaviour. Compassion. Meekness. I think being meek is something that people tend to laugh at, think it's a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. We need to be people who are meek. Forbearance and a forgiving spirit. Again, in the world today, we don't see many forgiving spirits, I'm afraid. I hear it so often, people saying, I could never forgive so-and-so for doing that. Bad. And all these things are divine attributes. And there's more. Through all of this, God gives us joy in our hearts, giving God thanks and praise. When we're truly walking with the Lord, we're given spiritual strength by God. And I find this passage a real challenge. I continue to ask myself, am I living a life worthy of the Lord? Perhaps you'd like to ask yourselves the same question. Are you? Are we as a church living lives worthy of the calling of God? I find that a real challenge. I was given this passage at my ordination 46 years ago, but I'm still challenged by it. Living a life worthy of the Lord. Where there's a spiritual life, there also needs to be spiritual strength. It's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to walk around our lives, our minds and our hearts. The danger is that we tend to shut him out in certain areas where you don't want him to look. Come to church on Sunday, but on Monday, don't see what I'm doing on Sunday because I'm really fed up with this person. I'm going to belt on one, you know. Whatever. I'm rude to somebody or something else. The danger is we shut the Holy Spirit out. We're going to be godly people. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the knowledge of God and what he wants for our lives. And when we're tempted and tempted to go astray, beware. Because when we actually go astray, we're opening the door to our hearts for the devil to come in and do bad things in our lives. We need to be walking with the Lord day and night. He's the one who gives us power. He's the one who gives us patience to deal with these things. He's the one who gives us endurance. He's the one who puts joy into our hearts as we serve him, even when things are hard and difficult. God has delivered us from the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we know that? God has delivered you from the powers of darkness. From the power of Satan. We now should be living in the power of God. From slavery to sin. So easy to keep on sinning once you start. But we've been delivered from that to freedom in Christ. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you know your sins have been forgiven? It's another challenge. Have we confessed and repented of our sins? Someone said to me a while back, we were talking about sin, oh yes, I did that years ago. So really? You lived a totally perfect life ever since, have you? They didn't speak to me for a while. But do you really grieve about the sin that's in your life? It's in my life. Do we really grieve about it? Someone said this, if we're not grieved by our sin, we're probably continuing it. If sin doesn't grieve us, we've got a problem. We need to turn to the Lord. And do you know in your heart that your sins have been forgiven? God doesn't want us wandering about carrying them about with us. The devil keeps wanting to remind us. Do you remember what you did last year? Trying to poke fingers at you. Walk with the Lord. Tell him to get lost. Bivol understands simple language. Jesus said to him, clear off, basically. A free translation from the NIV when he's being tempted. But it's true. We'd have to use fancy words, quote tons of the whole of the Bible to get rid of Satan. Tell him to get lost. He understands it. Prayer says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I know that many people scoff at our folk next door, the Catholic idea of actually going every Saturday night and confessing your sins. I think there's a lot in that, you know. If we do that every week, it'll certainly make sure we keep short accounts with God, won't it? But daily, of course, is what we should be called to. Daily giving the rubbish to God, not carrying about in our souls and our hearts and our minds and our spirits. I just think there's so much in this passage for us to feed on. Let's consider these few words and don't just listen to them. It's easy, or just read them. Take them on board. These are words of life, living as a Christian. Praying that God will fill us with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's a great prayer, this. If you read nothing else today, take those 5 or 6 verses again, Colossians 1, 9 to 14, and just apply them to your own lives. Why? So that we may live lives worthy of the Lord, that we may please him. Wouldn't it be good to say, I can please God today? How are we living? Are we pleasing God? Bearing good fruit in every good work. There's another challenge, isn't there? Are we bearing good fruit? Are we growing in the knowledge of God? And another challenge, do you feel close to God than you did a year ago? It's a real challenge, that. I found it a challenge anyway. Do I feel close to God than I did this time last year? We need to be strengthened with power, according to his glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and great patience. And we need to be conscious of the power of God in our lives. We need to know God's there, God's for us, that we're walking with him. Not that he's out there on a moon somewhere, but in our hearts. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father. I wonder, when you give thanks for answered prayer, do you do it with joy in your heart? I found that quite a challenge. I do thank God for answered prayer, but I think I'm not always that joyful about it. But God says when we're filled with the Spirit, we shall be joyful in the presence of God. Dangerous if we become a little grumblers when times are hard. But God has qualified you, each one of you, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. God doesn't want us wandering around in darkness. He wants us to be walking in the light of Christ. Can you receive that? God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he loves, who has paid the price for our sins. It is the King who rescues us. I want us just, in closing, just to spend 1 or 2 minutes looking and thinking about some of these words from 1 Colossians. Yeah, the first one up, please, Ted. Pray as never before. No, thank you, that's it. Pray as you never before. Back one. Thank you, wonderful. I wonder, how often have you thought that, I'm praying as I've never prayed before? I think, you know, that when those times are hard or there's a disaster or something like that, we tend to spend a lot of time in prayer. But do we pray daily? Where there's situations, do we pray as we've never prayed before? I mean, the example you had here in this church a few months ago, before Christmas, with preschool, when I was going down, there were other issues there. And the elders as a whole decided that they needed to pray about this, to come together regularly to pray, every morning that it took place, to pray for God to fill that area. And God answered those prayers and it changed. I think the same too maybe when we think about the football club. It's easy to pray for it once a week. When you think there's 80 to 90 young men there who we have contact with weekly, don't we really pray that they're going to hear about Jesus? They're going to turn and give their life to God. We need to pray for them as we've never prayed before. It's a challenge, isn't it? So often, many people think of prayer as being a once-a-week job. God, I think, wants us to walk with him and to pray to him day by day. God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Be joyful, whatever happens. Next one, please. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will. As I said earlier, not just to know it, but to live it. We need to live as Christian men and women. Be filled with wisdom and spirit. Is there a longing in your heart for that? There is for me. which I've discovered as I've been praying this, that I'd love to be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a change that would make. Lord, fill me with wisdom and spiritual understanding. That surely should be a prayer for all of us. We want to know God's mind, God's will. Thank you. Do we have that personal relationship with God? How well do you know him? Next one, Ted. Do you seek to receive more of God every day? God hasn't finished with you yet, or me. He wants us daily to come to him, to receive more of his love, more of his joy, more of his plan, more of what he wants us to do, more of that relationship of love, that love that he displayed with Jesus on the cross. Remember God's calling, God's grace, endurance, love, mercy, forgiving spirit. There you are, I've got a list up there. And you notice something, they're all encircled with joy. The reason for that. Whatever we are, wherever we are in that circle, we shall have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Thanks. Delivered from, do you know you're delivered from the powers of darkness? Again, it's a challenge, isn't it? We've been delivered from it. We don't have to live in darkness. We've been delivered from it. We've been redeemed, forgiven. Do we praise God for that or take it for granted? Said to him, sorry, Lord, that's it, finished. No, we have been redeemed, we've forgiven, and we are in the kingdom of his Son, of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks. That challenge that keeps coming back to bite me. Living a life worthy of the Lord. If as Christians we could do that all together as a church, I believe there'd be a real transformation here in this town. I really do. It's a daily challenge. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a daily thing. Living a life worthy of the Lord. And we need to give God the glory, a King who rescues us. So often we take it for granted what we've been rescued from. We need to really glorify God for delivering us from the powers of darkness, from Satan, from all the works of the enemy. God has rescued you, each one of you. And in that, we need to praise him and worship him and glorify him and live day by day for him. Amen.